know what salvation is all about and what the message of the gospel truly is, they're not going to buy, settle for a compromise. They don't want to go to get to church to get what they can get anywhere else. You come to church to get what you can get no place else. You can't get salvation from your sins any place else but the church. Amen? You might learn how to cope with a problem from a psychologist or a psychiatrist or from an alcohol bottle, but there are certain things that the world cannot even come close to settling for people. And that's the sin issue. That's the issue of deliverance from sin. And, you know, the enemy's trying to sell us a package, teaching us how to cope with stuff that Jesus set us free from. Everybody waiting on heaven, but the Lord has set us free immediately. God, Jesus has truly set us free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I can tell you, by the end of the year, by the time you catch this revelation, it's still being spoken in my spirit. God's still dealing with me on it, so... You know, we're going to wait until it gets nice and ripe before we present it to the body. But I can see you shouting just at the thought of being saved. Yeah. Just at the thought of being saved. Not just that you have a right to go to heaven, but just that you're just glad to be saved and delivered. That you're glad to be set free. You find out that you don't want to do the things of the world. Amen. Many people are doing many different things, looking in many different directions, seeking this and seeking that, but for some strange reason, you're in the house of God, amen, because you're saved. Saved, waiting, and ready to get out of here. Saved and set free and delivered. Why don't you party? Why don't you go to the movies on Friday night? I don't have time for that. I'm saved. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I know what it likes to be bound. I know what it's like to be lost in sin, to be lost with no way out, no hope, no reason for living. But Jesus came and he washed us in his blood. And we're going to be able to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done. Somebody said, Lord Jesus, I want to be perfectly whole. Wash me, Lord. And I shall be whiter than snow. Glory to God. Whiter than snow. That you come just to praise Jesus because your robe is washed. Whiter than snow. He'll wash you tonight if you want to be washed. He'll clean you up. He'll pick you up. He'll turn you around and give you a new hope. He'll give you sanctity. He'll give you sanctification. He'll allow you to walk holy in these last and evil days. Unspotted by the world. Without the stench of death on you. Without the smell of sin on you. He'll allow you to do it. He'll wash you right now if you want to be washed. And what God does in you, what Jesus does in you, the Holy Ghost will keep. That this is the last day, glory to God. This is the last wave of his grace and of his mercy. And then in this season, the devil tried to put us out. The devil tried to stop us. He tried everything he could try to stop us, but he was not able. For the word of God has been planted in our spirit, and we've got the message. Glory to God. We got the word. What's the word? The word is holiness and righteousness. For God is preparing a body. He's getting his church ready to get out of here. The Bible says he's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is ironing the wedding dress of the bride. He's cleaning her up, getting ready for the bride, getting ready for the wedding, getting you ready. Jesus is coming back for you holy, sanctified, set on fire. Not just with a shout in your step, but holiness on the outside. Completely set free and delivered with no desire to stay to the world or entangled to anything. I don't want anything to do with the world. Nothing! Nothing to hold me back, glory to God. I want to be the bride of Christ in these last and evil days. I want to be holy. I don't just want his riches. I just don't want his joy. Amen. I want what he wants me to have. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be saved, sanctified, filled with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. That's what God's doing in this last day and age. We'll put you to the point that not only will we have an anointing on us, but our holiness alone is salvation. He's putting us back. He's putting us back to that perfection. You know that God is restoring us once again. God's restoring us once again. He's coming back to get what he created. Yeah. Notice that he made man in his own image, and he looked at that man and he said, that's good. He looked at him and said, it was good. Amen. Well, he's coming back to get exactly what he created. Yeah. He's coming back to get something that he rejoiced over when he made. When he made Adam, listen, salvation takes us back to the point of Adam, not halfway there. Yeah. Not halfway there. He knew not sin. What? We are saved and we're put back in right standing with God. And not lesser. Somebody say total restoration. Here on the earth. Total restoration here on the earth. Before they ate of the tree. They do not sin. No, they didn't. They had no desire to sin or to turn. They didn't have a mind to take them to do the things of the world or to do the things of unrighteousness. They didn't even have an inkling to go in that direction. Not at all. It was impossible for them to sin because they didn't have the ability to sin. They had to take something on themselves. They had to get a new nature just to sin. They couldn't sin until they were reborn again. Until they were reborn in sin. What? Yes! Mankind was born without sin. The devil had to take them and win them and buy them and adopt them in order to give them the ability to sin. They didn't even have the desire to sin. People, this is the last wave. This is what Jesus is coming back for. Not a halfway church, skipping trying to make it in. Not a compromising gospel. Not a compromising gospel, people trying to live this thing out in their flesh. He's coming back for Adam. He's coming back for that thing that he created. And that's why the Bible says in the last day, he's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. That doesn't happen when we go to heaven. It happens when we accept the blood of Jesus. That's when he puts us back again. He said, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. Somebody say old things. Old things. Are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Glory to God. Everything becomes new. My mind becomes new. Not just your spirit. Not just your spirit. The Bible says, behold, all things. Everything becomes new. Everything. Somebody say everything. Everything becomes new. That's the Bible. Glory to God. My mind has been renewed by the word of God. When you get saved, you get sanctified, you get consecrated, you get converted, and something supernatural happens. Salvation is a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost, a work of God. You give him consent, he jumps on the inside of you and makes you all over again. Glory to God. Somebody say, something's happened to me. I'm no longer the same. I'm changed. And somebody say, well, what do we shout about? That last change means you don't have an idea of turning back. That's what the shout is all about. Oh, death loses its sting. What do you mean death loses its sting? That means that sin can no longer get a hold of you because you can choose to turn around again. Do you know that? You can choose to walk by your own understanding again if you want to. You can let the world filter you and work you over again if you want it. Yeah, you can lose it if you want to. That's what the last shout is about. Amen. There'll be nothing to try to turn you around again. There won't even have to be a fight to stay saved. You know it's a fight to stay saved. Jesus saves you, turns you around, and walks you and gets you out. Amen. And you know what? The moment you are saved, you are completely born again. There has been a something that happens over you, and then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to keep you that way. Amen. That's why the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential. Yeah. Why? Somebody say, it keeps me saved. Amen. It'll keep you saved. Amen. Do you need the Holy Ghost to get saved? No. Do you need the Holy Ghost to stay saved? Yes. Amen. Yes. That's why every Christian in the Bible had it. Every New Testament Christian, everywhere there was a revival, within the in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, there is always one sign, and at least five of them, tongues were mentioned. But there was some sort of evidence, that there was a supernatural work or grace or charismatic gift in operation. And he said, for they have received the Spirit just as we are. For we see and hear them speak as we did. See, we got to get beyond where the world is trying to wash us out to. Wash us up with a false doctrine. Taking the grace of God and the supernatural out of it. See, they start at one thing. First they go after the Holy Ghost, then they go after salvation itself. They get you distracted on your tongues by trying to tell you the tongues weren't have gone. And then in the meantime, we miss other things, supernatural things that have happened too, that they try to get you not to realize and to walk in by faith. Amen? and that you're renewed, and that he that knows the Lord Jesus Christ does not sin. Scripture. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. He said those things, but Paul never said he sinned. He never said he sinned one time. He never said he sinned one time. Not one time. He just said the thing that he wants to do, he would not do, and all these other things. There is no excuse for sin. No excuse for sin whatsoever. None. None. Stay in the Holy Ghost. Now, if we do sin, we have grace with God that we can get forgiven, right? And get it right. Amen? But that's no excuse to live there and to stay there. I've gotten to the point where I sit up and say, well, what is the difference? We get people to come to church, but we have yet to get people saved. People can come to church. Coming to church is not enough. Amen. People need to come to church and get saved, get converted. That's the issue. They got to have that supernatural work. They got to have that supernatural grace. And when you're saved, certain things change on the inside of you. When they let you know what salvation truly is. You just don't do certain things you used to. You just don't have the desire to do certain things you used to do. Someone says, I'm trying to live right, but I just can't stay out of the bar. That's because you're backslidden. You need to repent and back. You need to repent. You got a problem. You didn't turn around. You didn't turn the other way. You're dead in sin. You need to turn around and come back to God, repent, and get it right. Amen. And walk for God. Stop trying to tiptoe around. Amen. Sin! Amen. I'll get there when I want to get there. Brother, you'd be one that missed it. Jesus is coming back, and you thinking you're saved. Amen. Hanging out in the club, hanging out in the bar, sleeping with this and sleeping with that. No! You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Amen. But you're constantly running somebody down. Constantly tearing up the church. Constantly backbiting and gossiping. Constantly destroying people's marriages. No sanctity for marriage. No sanctity for anything that God set up. You're saved and a part of God and got the heart of God living on the inside of you, but everything you do is contrary to what Jesus would do. What? But yet I'm saved. From what? From what? Salvation is salvation from sin. I mean, God, you know, it doesn't say we're not going to be tempted to sin. Saved from it means it doesn't pull you in anymore. Before, we didn't have a choice. Sin would come at you, and you didn't have a choice to push it off. Whether it would come at you, and you had to take it. Amen? It belonged to you. It was yours. But Jesus came and delivered us from sin. That thing you were addicted to, that thing you were hooked to, you're saved from it. You're delivered from it. It doesn't have power over your life anymore. God has set you free. You can say no. Glory to God. And overcome. Hallelujah. And overcome, glory to God. Overcome, free, glory to God. Not just when we go to heaven, but free on earth. Devil, you can't make me do it. I can say no and stand in the grace of God, in the anointing of God. You can overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! You listen to the Holy Ghost, you have the ability to obey. Immediately. Say, the moment I get saved, it's the moment I get back the right to say no. Hallelujah. The moment you got saved is the moment you got authority. Authority not only to say, I don't want to be sick anymore. Glory to God. You were saved from sickness and disease. Now, we like that part. We can receive that. We can receive that. But the Bible says we're saved from sickness and disease. Glory to God. We're saved from poverty. But so also we are saved from sin. Glory to God. Saved from the works of the devil. Glory to God. Saved from being controlled by the forces of this world. Amen. Be ye not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Become that new creature that God has called you to become. Holy, sanctified, and set apart. Amen. Let the world see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I tell you what, the Woodlands, they know they're free from poverty. They can understand that. They go to herbs, New Age healers sometime for certain sicknesses, right? Certain disease, they can go to hospital. We don't need healing anymore. We can go to the hospital. They got a cure for this. They got a cure for that. Amen. I can borrow money from my mom or dad. Oh, but there's something you can't do anything with. The devil and sin, glory to God. There's some people in the woodlands that are bound to sin, bound to addictions with no way out. And they need to know that Jesus Christ is the answer, and he will set them free and deliver them. They've got drug habits. He will set them free. They might be addicted to homosexuality and sexual sins. There's no condemnation, just freedom in Jesus' name. Glad I'm saved. But people need to find out what they're saved from. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me from what? Yeah, somebody said, well, you're going to get judged by what you do? Yes. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What? How are you going to escape? How are you going to get caught up out of here when you neglect this salvation that God gave you? People, I want you to write this down big time on the top of your page. It's the biggest backslider. Backslider. Every backslider will definitely go to hell. Jesus ain't concerned about what you did 5 years ago. If he was concerned about what you did 5 years ago, some of us haven't been saved for 5 years. Some of them haven't been saved for 15 years, so he's not going to judge you what you've done in the past. He's going to judge you for where you are at right now. Isn't that a trip? That's why the workers in the field had a problem when the ones that they brought in these end-time harvesters, and they got paid just as if they had been there all the way. God's not concerned about yesterday, glory to God. He's concerned about right now. That means, I don't care what you could have blown somebody's head off yesterday, but if you get it right now, hallelujah. And if Jesus were to come right now, where you are right now, glory to God. Said, be wary, lest your father's wife keeps telling us, be watching and waiting. Be watching and waiting. Be ready. What do you mean, be ready? He was talking to people that were already saved when he said, be ready. Be ready. Be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. Well, why would they tell people that were already ready that they already knew about Jesus? Jesus was telling them, the brides and the virgins and different things. They all knew that the bridegroom was coming. They all believed. And they were all brides. But they weren't ready. They weren't ready. And because they weren't ready, they got left. There was one scripture that said, be ye not deceived. Be ye not deceived. Be ye not deceived. For whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And it was clear. It was clear. He said, if you reap corruption and death, and you sow to sin, you're going to reap corruption and death. But if you sow to life, you'll reap life more abundantly. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You keep walking in sin, you're buying yourself a ticket to hell. I'm not playing. People don't want to hear that today. Well, I don't want to say, was always say, they in the Bible nowhere. What does that mean? You can be saved. You can be saved and still, you know, it's like the person, it's just like somebody out in the boat, you know. The Titanic goes down and some people are out in life jackets or whatever out there in the middle of the water. And that helicopter over your head and say, come on in, come on in, come on in. Glory to God, this is for you. Take it, take it, take it. That means that person is saved. But if that person doesn't get in the helicopter, if they don't take it and walk in it, they're going to drown. The bride of Christ doesn't sleep with the devil. Shouldn't have to coach her in, amen? He is not married to a harlot. He fixed that. He sanctifies you and sets you free so that you can walk holy. And that's a supernatural grace. And as you walk in it, you'll start to shout just because of that. It ought to bring tears to your eyes. It ought to bring tears to your eyes. Why am I still going? I'm saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why haven't I given up yet? I'm saved. See, that's what it's all about. I'm saved. all about me, all about me, you know, all about me. People are going this way and got their hand all over the devil. Witchcraft on that side. But he pulled me out and delivered me, glory to God, and saved me. What do you think we were having? We were saying, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Thank God I'm still there. That's a grace. That's an anointing. That's what revival is all about, when people start to realize what Jesus has done for them and start to walk in it. And start to walk in that. Then we're not going to get in some big deal where we start talking about everybody else. That's not what salvation is all about. That's not what holiness and righteousness is all about, based on what somebody else is doing. It's about us walking in the liberty that Christ has set us free from. We can't stop people from going to hell that are to stop sinning. People that belong to the devil, they get to sin all they want to. It ain't none of our business what they do. Amen. If they're on their way to hell, they can sin. They belong to their father, the devil. They can sin all they want to. But once you give your life to Jesus, you ain't got no business sinning. Come out from among them. Oh, hallelujah. Nobody want to hear that. And we want to hang on. We want to hang with them, walk with them, smoke, talk with them, drink with them. The Bible says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Why? It'll get you dirty. And he's coming back for a bride without spot nor wrinkle. In this last way, some people are going to get truly saved. Amen. People are going to get truly saved in this last day. And we're going to walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, our God who reigns. How many believe that Jesus reigns? Amen. How many believe that he reigns? Amen. How many believe that he reigns? Yes. He reigns. Says this, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not much as named among the Gentiles, that one such have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not removed, and not rather mourn that ye have done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that have so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye gather together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one, such a one, O unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good, but know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Just a little bit messes up everybody. Just a little bit messes up everybody. That means you get somebody in here that don't want to be saved, it'll mess everybody up. You're constantly trying to keep them out of sin, it'll mess everybody up. People that don't want to be saved don't belong in church. A little leaven. Oh, we can handle this one. That's just, you know, that's just them, amen. A little leaven. People that want to live in sin, they get a new pastor. We're not called to pastor people that want to live in sin. Their pastor's Satan. He said, turn them over to Satan, he'll deal with it. He said, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit might be saved. Because they can't serve God. It's impossible to serve God when people don't want to be saved. It starts there. And see, people get a trip, say, you got to deal with this. When they see you coming up to something, say, look, no, I'm not into that. People don't like when preachers say, no, look, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. That's just wrong. You can't bring that in. Oh, just give them a break. Amen. That's wrong. Just give them a break. No, this is the house of God. You're converted and you're made new. Glory to God. This is a supernatural thing. You can live holy. A little leaven destroys the whole lump, and we built churches with a little lump and a lot of leaven. Little lump and a lot of leaven. And wonder why the church isn't risen anywhere. Wonder why the church is not able to do anything. But the day is coming. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Don't even keep company. You know somebody sleeping around, you better not keep company. Somebody sleeping with somebody not their husband, not their wife, they don't need to be your best friend. They don't need to be your phone companion. You're not pulling him out. You're not going to pull him out doing things that the Word tells you to do that's contrary to Scripture. Amen. Don't even hang with them. You can love them. Love them. Say, I love you. Amen. But I don't love you enough to go to hell. Amen. Honey, that's a trip you got to take by yourself. Don't even keep company. Don't even keep company. People wonder why they can't live right, why they can't live saved, why they can't live holy. Because they come to church one day a week and hang out with Satan all week long. As soon as they get out of church, they're on the phone with somebody else who's in sin and wonder why they can't come out. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Doubt and unbelief comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the devil. Separate. Got to let you go. Hallelujah. Got to let you go. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. I want to come on up. I want to be the bride of Christ. Glory to God. How many got children? How many got a child? How many got a child? How many got kids? How many got kids? How many of you know, you see old gangbanger, and you got these kids you're trying to teach how to walk holy and how to walk righteous and how to love God. Then you go stick your kid someplace where the kids are gangbanging. Amen? You go put your child in the rest of that and expect it not to affect you. Expect it not to affect your child. It's the same way with Christians. Same way with you. Same way with you. You can't live holy when you're living around a bunch of mess. Somebody say you got to move. There are certain things you just got to cut loose. And somebody might be struggling, and set them free. Somebody say, now listen, hey, we can hang, amen, but you're going to cut that out. So you might mess up. We'll deal with you. You can mess up. You know, you might mess up. Amen. I'm not going to let you go. And I'll forgive you 70 times 7. I'll forgive you and forgive you and forgive you again. Glory to God. But you're going to cut it out. You're not going to be content living in sin and be my friend. Amen. I love Jesus too much. I got to make a choice between you and him. Amen. And I'd rather have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have the touch of God. Amen. I'd rather have the grace and the anointing of God. People wondering why they're living outside of God's grace, outside of God's abundance, and you doing everything right. Amen. Being the people around you ain't doing right. There was an idol in the camp. There was an idol in the camp. There was a story where they were looking. They were wondering why they couldn't defeat one army. And one family decided to hold back and had an idol in the camp. And it affected everybody. Affected everybody. Oh, yes. What people do will affect you. See, we're strong, not in number, but in anointing. You hear what I'm saying? It's all right if God cuts us back and we got God on our side. I'd rather have 10 and God in demonstration than 7,000 and no glory. But you know, that was a sign they would always defeat armies that were bigger than them. You don't ever hear stories in the Bible where the army was smaller. You know that? You ever read a story where it said, and they went out to the battlefield, there was only so much on the other side, and the Israelites were many, and they defeated them greatly. You don't usually hear stories like that. Why? 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 Because God wanted to let you know, it's not how big you are. It's not how many you got, amen? It's how you live and what you got with you. It's what you got in the camp. It's not how many you got. It's what you got in the camp. Because you could have 5,000 with the wrong thing in the camp. I'd rather have 10 with the glory and with the anointing of God than 5,000 with the idols. Amen. 5,000 with things they're holding back. Wonder why they can't defeat the enemy and come out. Somebody say, gotta go. Glory to God. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye need go out into the world. Somebody said, then you need to go out to the world. Amen. See, you need to preach to people. Amen. See, you need to preach to people sometime. Yes. Amen. She's my friend, and they say. I mean, if all your relationships are in the world, then you need to go on out to the world. Somebody said, this is where you need to go. So that's where you need to go. Not one side out. Not halfway in and halfway out. You got to decide which side of the fence you want to be on. Let me help you. Let me help you. And see, that's how you can help people sometimes. Let me help you. You know, if you're lukewarm, you see, God said, I'd rather have you be either hot nor cold and not lukewarm. Amen? Not trying to figure it out. Amen? Somebody said, get in here after you figure it out. Don't be in here trying to figure out which way you want to go. Amen? Make up your mind and then come. Jesus took care of that first of all. Many people tried to follow Jesus. He got them straight from the get-go. He said, get rid of this, get rid of that. He didn't let anybody follow him unless they were certain that's what they wanted to do and that's where they wanted to go. They got to make up in their mind what they want to do. For then you must need to go out to the world. No, but everybody want to bring the world into the church. And then we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. Powerless. Dead aren't rising. Sick aren't being raised to the level that they need to be raised. Losing battles. Wonder why the church in America is decreasing instead of on the increase. You know, I've never heard so much talk of revival in all my life. Revival over here, revival over there, but the church of God is in decrease. Ain't no revival. Revivals make churches grow. For the last 7 years, the church in America has been in the decrease 4%, at least 4% a year. 4% a year. How many notice how many churches, how many new churches do y'all see starting? Are y'all getting excited about all new churches that are starting up every year? How many, isn't it neat to see all the new churches? Do you know the statistic is more churches die in America than new churches that are planted every year? Did you know that? Did you know that? So I say holiness and sanctification. Separate. Say it, separate. Separate. He says, listen. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetousness or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard, that doesn't mean. Now we got to figure out what this drunkard means. Got to figure out what drunkard means. That means getting ripped, or does that mean drinking any form of alcohol? I'm not certain, because I knew that the wine at the temple, it was wine. I don't buy that it was non-alcoholic. Because they use the same verse when they say this person had too much wine. It's the same word. There's not a word for non-alcoholic wine and a word for alcoholic wine. It is not grape juice. Drunkard is drunk. Amen. Drunkard is drunk. Or an extortioner. With such at one do not eat. Some people are out right now. Ain't in church right now. They out partying down. For what would I have to judge them that are also without, and do not judge that them that are within? So I say judgment begins in the house of God. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves the wicked person. You can help people in that way. It's a shame. People don't need you to be their best friend. People need you to be a brother and sister in Christ. You know, being your buddy is not going to get them to heaven. You only just get that over. You need to get that over in your head. Everybody being friendly with you and coming to church because everybody on good terms. Whether they're on good terms with me is not married whether they go to heaven or not. Amen. Amen. Whether they're happy with Pastor Rod or happy with this one. Amen. As long as we're all happy with each other, you know, as long as me and you and you, we're okay. We're going to go to heaven. No, you better be on good terms with Jesus. Amen. That's how it is with churches sometimes. You know, we don't want to say anything. We don't want to tell the truth because we want everybody to be happy and everybody just to be at just peace. Amen. Amen. I'm in this thing for Jesus. I'm not afraid to tell you. I ain't hanging out with you. Glory to God. You ain't saved. You can get mad with me all you want to. You're just not saved. You know, you don't act like a believer. You don't act like a believer. I'm hanging out with believers. Amen. Why don't I want to hang out with you? Amen. You ain't got no faith. And what can you do for me? You need to repent. Get your stuff together. Isn't that a word that we never use? Somebody say repent. A whole bunch of people need to repent. Amen. Hold them up on the floor, rolling and crying and laughing. Amen. You need to get up off the floor and repent. He's coming back for a church without spot and a wrinkle. How long are we going to be on this church until the Holy Ghost gets us off of it? Until the Holy Ghost gets us off of it. Say it again. Y'all want another one?
Yeah.
See, we wonder why the church didn't grow because we let anything hang in here. Somebody say, what is sin? If somebody come in with a... Now listen, somebody can come in and get delivered. And they get delivered, you got to treat them like a brother. Amen? Yeah. Sin is sin. Somebody might come in, amen, and shooting up drugs. That person is no more a sinner than a backbiter or a gossiper. Yeah. Sin is sin. Yeah. The person that's destroying somebody else's marriage is just as guilty as the one that's getting a divorce. Amen. We want to say anything. Oh, the one that's getting divorced is in trouble. You better catch the one that's helping people get divorces. Amen. The one that's in everybody's business. You need to leave this one. You better leave that one. Amen. You better shut your mouth and mind your business. Amen. Amen. God's going to hold you accountable. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Their blood's going to be on your hand. You better watch what you say. We're so quick to give people advice. Don't you know if you cause your brother to stumble, you're in trouble? Amen. You have messed up your stuff and you don't have any righteousness within you. Amen. And you're not content to go to hell by yourself. But misery loves company. You want to live in sin? You want to live in sin by yourself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, hallelujah, I like this. Why don't we just go on to 14? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Hallelujah. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth, should not henceforth live unto themselves. Somebody say, don't live unto yourself. Right there. If he died for you, don't live unto yourself. You need to get rid of your selfishness. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I just need this over there. I just need a break. You don't live after yourself. Somebody died for you. Glory to God. And you're worried about who hurt your feelings. Nobody treats me right. Oh, woe is me. What about me? What about me? Nobody did anything for me. I just had to get a break. I've had enough. I was just burnt out working. Somebody died for you. Glory to God. Jesus bled for you. He died for you to set you free. That's enough. I don't care if anybody else in the world gives you a kiss on your cheek. Glory to God. I don't care if anybody else gives you a pat on your back. I don't care if you never get a hug until you see Jesus come. His death, his blood, and his resurrection is enough. I don't care if everybody turns their back on me. He'll never let me go, and that's enough. When you were dead in sin, he didn't talk to the world and say, come on, everybody get up on the cross to help them out. The other robbers on the tree didn't die for your salvation. Somebody say, only one. Only one gave you life. Only one gave you life. Only one gave you the right to come into the relationship with the Father. Only one. Only Jesus. Glory to God. Only one. See, you can't let me affect you spiritually. I didn't hang on the cross for you. Only one, Jesus. Only Jesus. So many excuses that we should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Somebody died for you and got up. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to be separated from his Father. He doesn't need us. He could have made some other creature. He created a new thing, glory to God. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to rise again. He didn't have to suffer. He felt it all. My God. My God. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, listen, it's there because he died. It's there because he bled. Hey, amen. Why do we have to live out this new nature in holiness and righteousness? Why are we new creatures? Because he died. Because he bled. Because he suffered. That's why we walk in holiness. That's why we walk in righteousness. That's what it's there for. That's why we're new creatures. That's why we're new creatures. He died. His death was not in vain. Glory to God. What's your hang up? People are going to ask you, who do you think you are? When did you get so holy? Why'd you get so righteous? What is all that for? It's there because it's blood. His sacrifice. Why are you doing the things that you do? Why are you holding it? Why are you saying no to the devil's devices? Why? It's there because of him. Glory to God. He started it. He had no reason for loving me, but I got a reason for loving him. He had no reason for giving up his life. I got a reason for giving up mine. His glory to God. He gives us a reason to live right. You got a reason to stop it. You got a reason to cut your mess out. People used to walk around when they saw women in fur coats and throw pints of blood on them. And, amen, let them feel like this is what you did to the little bears. They wear fur coats. They wanted people to stop wearing furs and all this other stuff. Y'all remember the big fad? So they would get red paint and blood, and they would run up to people that had those coats on. They would throw blood on them to make them feel bad about the animal that suffered for them to have that coat on. Same thing for us. Same thing for us. We can't live anyway. We want to live. We're walking in the Christ. You were in the body of Christ. He gave his life for you, his blood for you and everything. You can't live any kind of way you want to live. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Skip on down to 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can tell by the way what people believe by the way they live. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out! Why are you changing your relationships? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Don't worry about not having any friends. He'll receive you. Don't worry about how, you know, don't worry about who's going to call you anymore, what the way they talk to you, amen? Well, nobody's going to talk to me, and I'm going to be all lonely. Somebody say, he'll receive me. He'll receive you. You won't be alone. God will receive you if you decide to walk in holiness and righteousness. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. He said, I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Somebody say, family. This is the day when God's turning the hearts of the sons to the fathers and the fathers back to the sons. He's going to give you a heart back after unto God. How many glad you're saved? Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, separated from the world. So in the Bible, we gotta get beyond our little, we gotta change our confession. We should say, I thank God that I'm saved. Sanctified. And what does sanctified mean? Set apart. Hallelujah. He just didn't save you and leave you there. He saved you and took you out of the mess and set you over there. Sanctified. He saved you, picked you up from left, took you from one place and set you over here. Put him over in the good side. Amen. Saved and separated. Picked us up and moved us. Glory to God. See, that's the problem with people. People want to get saved, but they don't want to be moved. He wants to save you and sanctify you. Glory to God. Set you and pull you apart. Wrap you up in the church. Wrap you up in the love of God. Wrap you up in the grace of God. Wrap you up in the anointing of God. Sanctify you. Glory to God. Wash you with his word. Wash you with his power, with his love, and with his blood. Sanctify you. Glory to God. Just getting you ready, hallelujah. Just preaching stuff away, washing you. We take communion just about every Wednesday night, amen, forgiving us of all sin. That blood washing us. Somebody say, I'm sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. What a life. What do you do with yourself? What kind of job do you have? Let me tell you what I am. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to stop there. I've got a mind to go on with Jesus. Glory to God. I got a mind to go all the way. There is no shadow of turning within me. I got a mind to live right. Hallelujah. I don't want to go for sin. Amen. Want to be saved. Somebody say, I'm saved and want to be. That's a blessing. Some people are saved. They don't want to be saved. They just don't want to go to hell. Yeah, some people are saved, but they ain't saved. They just don't want to go to hell. I'm saved and I want to be saved. If there wasn't any hell, I'd still want to be saved. If there wasn't coming an end to the world, I'd still want to be saved. Glory to God. If I could, you know, if I could do the things that I used to do and can get away from it, I'd still want to be saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If there wasn't a rapture, I'd still want to be saved. Glory to God. I'd still want to be with Jesus. There's power in this life. Saved and want to be. People can't get to you. No, I'm saved and I want to be. I got a mind to go all the way. And I thank God that I've got a mind to run all the way. Somebody say, I got a mind to go all the way. Say, I'm running for Jesus. And I ain't got tired yet. How many of you are tired of running for Jesus? Tired of running for holiness? Tired of, amen, how many of you are tired? Tired of working for Jesus? Tired of someone? No, I got a mind to go all the way, amen. I got a second wind, glory to God. I haven't get up, I'm going all the way. I got a mind to go on and on and on and on and on and on. I got a mind to go on. I'm not ready to give out. I'm ready to give in to Jesus. I'm going all the way. I'm not giving up, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm glad about it. Glory to God. You don't know what he brought me out of. Glory to God. You don't know what we could have been. Hallelujah. Woo! If the devil had his way, we could have been dead in a grave. Messed up in all kind of stuff. You don't know where you've been. Glory to God. You don't know what you could have turned out to do. Glory to God. He saved you just in time. That mess that's out there. Many, many would love the opportunity today to be saved and sanctified. Many are lying in their graves as a result of sin. But God has picked you up and turned you around and washed you in his blood. He saved you just in time. Glory to God. Many have been out there in the clubs and gone home and had the car tumbling down the freeway. Yes, many. Many have slept with this and slept with that, then slept with the wrong one, end up having AIDS. But he saved you, glory to God, before you even found out that there was AIDS out there, glory to God. Hallelujah. You could have been doing all kinds of stuff. It was out there. It was out there. Amen. You didn't know about it. It didn't hit the paper. But God saved you just in time. And you're here today. Glory to God. He didn't have to do it. You could be having any kind of life today. You could have any kind of life today. But he decided to bring you out and bring you in. Glory to God. Saved and want to be. Got a mind to live for Jesus. I think that's enough, church. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.